Welcome and good evening. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the QS Cast. Firstly, I know the last, 2 weeks or so, I just want to apologize. I've been really busy. Summer classes were wrapping, or a summer session actually was wrapping up. So that, had my attention. Family was here. So I do apologize. I tried to make up for it. I will make up for it as always, but I have had a pretty good streak of being consistent this year. So I want to keep that, I want to keep that going. So I appreciate you folks being understanding, and I will try to do better, now that things are a little less hectic. Joining me tonight, Efren and Stu Somers. So what is up, Efren and Stu Somers? Thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah.
Kind of a slow time right now, but there are some things to talk about.
Yeah. There are a couple topics that we did want to cover. One of them, obviously, is Core 2020. We're pretty much obligated to talk about it. The good thing about really, the kind of underlying, it's not really underlying, but one of the good things about, always being pretty active in the Discord, even though we weren't super active, this isn't a super active time, rather. We still kind of provide our thoughts. So, but it's good to really kind of hash it out on the cast. And I got to be honest, I'm not ever really a huge fan of the core sets, but yeah. And especially with a pretty, a fairly important rotation coming around in October, Mero said we're receiving a preview at San Diego Comic-Con, along with some really cool looking San Diego Comic-Con promos. Basically same thing as always: buy them, turn around, resell them. I think that will be fairly easy. Although it is a little bit interesting on this time around that they aren't Planeswalkers. So I don't know how that will affect the price this time around, but I still do feel that it should be a shoo-in to turn around, turn these around for a normal profit as always. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think.
Forget how do we get these? Is it the same way as the?
So,
well, that's interesting, because how are they going to do it this year? Is it going to be back on Hasbro or another eBay experiment?
So
I'm very interested to see how that pans out.
Outside of physically being at San Diego Comic-Con, they have normally thrown them up on the Hasbro toy shop. But yeah, I'm guessing it's just going to be on eBay. I mean, I don't really know what else they'll do. But yeah, so tangent aside, we're going to talk about Core 2020. We're going to talk about a little bit of a point that I brought up in relation to Core 2020 specifically, about maybe this being our first really interesting case study. And I don't know if other outlets really are talking about this, but I definitely picked it up that this may be the first time that we're actually seeing MTG Arena directly impact cart pricing in paper. Now, I know there's always the talk that MTG Arena will bring in new players and all that, but no, I'm specifically talking about MTG Arena, especially the fun factor and the fact that the cards are coming out earlier on MTG Arena, and especially as you brought up, Stu, that there's just not a lot going on right now. So maybe that fun factor, I think, is spilling over into the paper aspect, where normally I don't feel like that would have been the case. So I want to get your thoughts on that. But very quickly on Core 2020, I just want a very brief take from each of you. Where did we start from in Core 2020, and how did we end up here? And do you think this is sustainable for this set? Efren, you can go first.
I'm like you, where I don't really ever like core sets. And because of that, I don't really speculate on much of them. I did try to get some really cheap when they came up in the chat. I think Miniature Market had some really cheap Leyline of the Voids. Other than that, that's the only kind of action I've taken on it. I don't really see anybody super hyped for a lot of things in the set except for Sorin. So for me, I always kind of get excited that core sets are back, and then they just kind of seem like, man, once they're out, they just don't really have, I guess they just don't have the flavor that I like. So that's where I'm at with it. I've been very conservative with this, especially after all the Modern Horizons kind of insanity we went through.
Yeah. Stu?
I actually kind of like core sets. I think there's a lot of like hidden value in there because it kind of go under the radar because we just came off, you know, back-to-back sets and then this one and people are kind of tired of it. So this one's not going to be as opened as much. And then I think for the majority of times, just from like a play standpoint, like the limited formats have been, despite being for more beginners, have actually been fairly interesting. I mean, there were a couple of bad ones, like 2014 wasn't very good to 13, but like for the most part, set, you know, these sets are put pretty well together. I do think Core Set 2020 kind of feels like half of it was like the leftover file from Modern Horizon of some of these cards. But other than that, like I think there's going to be a lot of chances to make some good money on this set if you can figure out what's going to happen. I mean, looking at Vivian Reed last year, she was kind of low. Nobody was really into it. And then it just like we couldn't keep it in stock.
Yeah, so the long and short of Core 2020 for me, and I love you to death, Stu, but shame on you guys, you all, for thinking this set was going to stop the hype for Modern Horizons. Come on.
Like, well, I think I thought
you really thought over. That was going to happen after this turd.
So what's going to actually, well, all right, let me just kind of like phrase what I'm saying here on this. What's going to happen is that these stores are going to have to order, basically, yeah, from a start, I'll give you a little insight from the store standpoint is that we can't short our orders on M20 or Core 2020 and then expect to get the same max allotments for the next master sets and next everything else. So stores are going to have to like dump all their extra money into getting their max amount allocations for core sets. And then they're going to, you know, then they're left with like not a ton of extra money to get a ton of extra Modern Horizons because by the time they burn through their core set, it's going to be time for the next set. So it is going to kind of slow it down, just not in the same way as like people were excited to open it, much as stores can't necessarily afford to get a ton
right. of horizon. I think that was the key phrasing that I think was overlooked there.
It's so much easier for me to say like talking than it is for me to type.
Yeah.
Out.
Well, and to be fair, I mean, you really weren't the one shouting it from the mountaintops. I just like to give you crap about it, but
I should try harder. My bad.
but yeah, listen, I feel like we're looking at pretty much the same thing that other previous core sets, you know, let's discount the original printings of the Titan cycle, those core sets from a while ago. We're seeing some movement. I don't think it'll be sustainable. I'll talk about it a little bit more in the next segment where we talk about MTG Arena, but there were some opportunities. Certainly, most of them have been discussed in the Discord. I personally did not really do my diligence in terms of extensively covering Core 2020 because I feel like, you know, you kind of alluded to this, Stu, so I'm going to, you know, piggyback on that idea is I feel like this set is much better to look back on once we get the kind of full framing of what we're receiving in October, and then all these sets, the new sets for, you know, going forward in Standard are locked in, right? I did make sure to say that I felt that there was certain very short-term opportunities. Obviously, that was correct. I was correct in saying that because at least a small handful of cards definitely increased since that point or were increasing at the time. But I just don't feel that it's sustainable, and there's definitely a lot of room for these cards to drop off once we get firstly, the initial kind of opening, and secondly, the fact that we just don't know if these decks are just very short-lived. This meta is very short-lived.
Right. I mean, like, just looking at, like, people are, like, you know, anticipating, what was it, Devotion Mattering coming up soon, so I think that, like, just looking at the prices, I mean, the White Cavalier and the Black Cavalier are, like, $5 and $4 a Star City, and just some, like, cheap mythics that are really good. I mean, the White Cavalier and the Black Cavalier are both very good cards, so I think there will be chances to jump on those and make some money.
Yeah. Efren, do you feel the same? I mean, where I know I kind of alluded to this previously, but I'm in a holding pattern, folks. Like, there's not a ton to cover. I know we were just kind of slammed with back-to-back preview seasons, and another one is pretty much right around the corner, but we get a little bit of a... No, actually, we don't. We don't really get a breather here, because we're getting Commander 2019 previews here soon, but I was more talking about like the actual constructed sets. But I don't know. We have a BNR on Monday. As of recording right now, we're recording on 7/5. So on 7/8 on Monday, we have a BNR. I'm expecting something to happen. We have a rotation in October, so I'm pretty lukewarm on buying really anything aggressively into standard. And I'm pretty much gearing up for modern. Like, I'm turning around and looking right back into Modern Horizons and not really paying attention to Core 2020, because Stu keeps bringing up, and you're absolutely right, that it is modern season coming up here soon.
I mean, here's another thing you tell. I just went to the Moto deck dumps, and the one from July 4th, there are three total decks listed. People are just not playing much standard on Moto, and you can kind of tell. And that was the easiest way to get, like, decks. But now it's just like there was a mono white deck, and a mono red deck, and a red white deck, which is actually kind of funny. But, there's just not a lot of standard happening.
It almost feels like we just kind of slammed right into the summer lull, like we were full steam ahead. And then the week of 4th of July, just like everything kind of came to a halt, at least for me.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. I do think it will pick back up for Commander 2018. I'm much well, obviously, and that's overall
for
a
me,
better
for
product
me,
to be
for sure,
yeah.
Because that's where I like to spec the most.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to add on to your point about Monday, I think you definitely want to be around in the Discord Monday, because in addition to the ban and restricted, remember Sheldon said they're going to have an announcement Monday about their new philosophy for Commander.
Please ban Sol Ring.
No, don't ban Sol Ring. I'm sorry. Don't do that. So I think that's going to be something about... He went on a rant a bit on Twitter where he was talking about how people just love to combo off in Commander, and he didn't think that was like with the spirit of the format. So I don't know if there's going to be bans, or maybe they're going to... But there's going to be some kind of big announcement from the Rules Committee on Monday. So Monday is going to be a time I'm going to be glued to the Discord.
Okay.
I just feel like so much of Sheldon is just old man yelling at the sky. He's like, oh, people are comboing off. Well, every set there's new cards added to the format. So of course there's gonna be new combos found, new interactions.
Yeah, I felt the same way when he said that. Like, I kinda want them to, I mean, I respect them, but I want them to also leave Commander alone, because I really love it.
Also ban Sol Ring.
I know what you're referring to. I didn't think it was going to be that impactful, but you feel that it is. It's like a whole new... When I look at design philosophy, I'm looking at how Commander's played in general. So I did not immediately equate that to we're just going to ban a lot of cards. But maybe that's you know, how they go about it.
Do you think
that this could be an announcement of... We're allowing planeswalkers to be commanders, or something.
Well,
of that
was my baseless speculation post. Okay. I posted that in there.
Okay.
That's the only thing. The only thing it really can be, right?
Yeah, and you know what that would mean, Chaz? Dark Intimations.
Oh yeah. but they're not foil. No.
No, 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 no.
Also, rest in peace, Oathbreaker.
Yep.
You know, that is really the worst part of it all, is they're not even four.
What did you people do before I got it? Did somebody buy a ton of...
No, that was all me, and...
I was just telling everybody to buy Dark Intimation.
Oh, no.
I was not telling everybody to buy it.
Chaz, oh, no.
No, think about this.
It was super cheap. I mean, it was...
Very cheap, and come on, it was a clear plant card.
We were steering towards Bolas and Amonkhet. It kind of looked like, it almost looked like, I mean, it's obviously a trap now, but it looked like it was a home run.
Yeah, it looks horrible now, but it looked amazing then. And they were like a quarter, not even.
Yeah, less than a quarter. Oh, well, we still got
them. I do still have them.
Time's going to tell on this one.
Oh my God.
It's the worst. It's really the worst. I had up until a long while ago, It's probably a year. This is a complete rant, but I had up until maybe a year and a half ago my first ever really terrible spec. Although at the time it felt amazing too. Underworld Cerberus. I had a stack of those.
They're from Theros?
Yeah. Like when Theros was first released.
Oh.
Yeah.
I still
60, think that card's pretty good.
I still have like 60 commence the end games. Damn. Yeah, I mean, I'm broken even on them because I dumped a bunch for a dollar piece. But at the same
that's
time,
probably a whole nother podcast in of itself to rattle off really terrible specs that didn't pan out. But
I was telling you, I have a new philosophy when it comes to just how I'm specing.
I have a pretty new philosophy too.
It's only mythics. Like, rares are just so hard.
Yeah, I have a whole philosophy too, and it even goes beyond mythics. But
not
I don't want to get into that now because apparently every time I bring it up, I'm looking for an argument.
Since we're talking about Core 2020, what do you guys think about the increased frequency of the foils? Is that going to have a pretty big...
So that's actually really interesting because it pretty much obliterates any interest that I had long term from the set.
Oh, you think it's being that? Well, it's like one in every three packs, right? That's pretty.
Yeah, abundant. That's pretty aggressive. So
I haven't even thought about this yet.
It's going to be a long while until I look back on Core 2020 moving forward.
Well, to be honest, I mean, we all kind of think this set's not going to be open a ton. So, like, this one might be okay, but, like, the fall set's going to be just a zillion.
I'll tell you what, though. I am passing on my opportunity to buy foil Panharmonicon.
You supposed to buy that card?
No, it's a very, very inside joke.
Yeah.
I'm well outside.
I will clue you in later. Okay. But I am passing on that. Let's just say that. I'm passing on a lot of foils for this set, at least for a while. But what I'm not passing on is foils from Modern Horizons. I still think... now, we did see some really big increases there, but they cooled off a little bit. I think we're going to get an accelerated foil increase here again soon. That's just my take on that.
Oh, you think so?
There's so many money
cards in that set. I was looking at just this afternoon.
Yeah, but look, a lot of those cards are going to drop off, especially in foil too. And there's just going to be a select few that are going to really take off.
What's that?
I think a lot of the foil prices still going to crash. And, you know, when Chris and I talked about the specific foils, like this, like handful of foils, I think those will continue to increase.
All anybody ever asks for at the event outside of like the Saturday morning rush was Modern Horizon cards for sale, foils and non-foils of all the good stuff. It didn't matter.
Yep.
I was posting up the picture of our hot list and like we were buying some, not a ton. Most of the things we were buying were people just at our booth cracking packs and then selling them back.
What was the hottest Modern Horizon card you sold and bought and sold over the weekend too?
Prismatic Vista.
Okay.
I think was by far one that we bought the most of and sold the most of.
Wow.
And it's also the one that scares me the most.
I would think number two would be Force of Negation.
Number two, Seasoned Pyromancer, I think, actually.
Oh, okay.
We sold out of that card and then never bought any back.
What about those the canopy lands?
They all sold pretty well throughout
really?
The day. Jeez. Yeah, they're rares though, so we had quite a few. Like we had more of that going on than we did the mythics. But like Prismatic Vistas, we were just selling left and right. And that's the card that I'm just so scared. I'm going to open up Commander 2019, and there's going to be like Prismatic Vista in every set. And it's just like, you know what? That makes a ton of sense at the same time.
I was about to say, it would make perfect sense for that to happen.
Like, at my store, I'm like, hey, let's keep, you know, 12x of all standard cards, 8x of all modern, 4x of everything else, except Prismatic Vista. I want, like, zero of that card between now and it finally announce Commander, because I'm just so paranoid.
Huh.
And, like, honestly... From a player standpoint, I hope they put it in there because, like, every Commander player needs it. It's super expensive, and it'd be really good for them to put it in there to help them, you know, throw them a bone.
Good points there. before we go off in too many more tangents, I do want to move into kind of our second and kind of final topic for tonight. We're going to keep it a little bit shorter tonight, just so we can kind of wrap it up and, you know, discuss just certain cards that we're looking at least hopefully in the foreseeable future. There's just a lot of things in flux right now, folks, and it's very hard to kind of want to go too deep on anything, especially with all the stipulations that I talked about earlier in the cast. So I talked about this earlier in the cast. I believe that Core 2020 is our first real data point, you know, our first case study into MTG Arena directly affecting, helping to affect paper pricing. You made a good point earlier, Coach, about Stu, Coach, that there's not a lot to do. Magic is kind of in a weird state right now. Standard is rotating. There's just not a lot of things going on. And there is definitely a fun factor about new cards in MTG Arena, how those cards are being, you know, performing on MTG Arena, and kind of the social gathering around that, and, you know, folks tweeting out deck lists and folks tweeting out, or, you know, posting interactions. And I do think for the first time we're seeing that play out in the paper pricing, because before, you know, we did kind of still have it. We had MTGO. I don't know if they were that far ahead of paper in terms of folks are getting or receiving these cards and playing with them way earlier than either paper pre-releases, because the pre-release is tonight and
today. 3 o'clock.
Yeah. And, you know, over the weekend. So good luck, folks, by the way. I think that that gap, at least for the release, is certainly affecting this. We got it Tuesday. Yeah, great chat. You know, awesome. And it's really correlating into paper increases. We saw increases in Cavalier of Thorns, all the elemental stuff from the hype, Risen Reef. I mean, that's just a great card in general, but I just feel like it's a data point we should look at and document going forward. Soren, yeah? Quote from chat. Yeah. You know, so what do you both feel about that? Efren, yeah, go ahead, go first.
Yeah, I hadn't even considered that until you brought it up. So my kind of off the top of my head take is that you're probably right, because we kind of say all the time how much casuals can affect the market. And when you compare it to Modo was such a barrier of entry just from the $10 you needed to put in to even be able to play it, and then it was like a real old and kind of archaic interface. And Arena's really geared towards the casual player in every aspect, I think. So I would not be surprised if that's true.
Stu, what do you feel?
I think there's definitely some to that for sure. I mean, Modo deck dumps haven't been nearly as, I'm not going to say like good, but they definitely are a lot different now. And then people are now starting to, you know, Twitter has it, and then like the damn podcast is now rebranded to like the Arena Decklist podcast. So like Arena Decklist in general getting a lot more like, hey, look at this, you know, and it's so much smoother. You can like, you'll play that Reef Elemental and you'll do like four different things really fast, and people are having fun doing that. So they're going to, you know, want to do that in real life too. And it definitely is impacting everything.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Even just the visual of you drop a card and then boom, 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 all these interactions show up on the screen, and sometimes a little monster comes out or whatever.
I want that cat in real life.
But like, and this is what I was even bringing up before, because did we have MTG Arena for Core 2019? I think it was in beta, right? Like it wasn't actually released.
We're still in beta, I think.
We're still technically in beta, but yeah, it wasn't.
Public beta, like, I think, started with Guilds, didn't it? Guilds of Ravnica?
Right. It was like closed beta. Okay.
Yeah.
But just think about that, right? So there was a lot of NDA stuff going on. Not a lot of folks can talk about it, I believe, right? Yeah, that was the case. So, I mean, even looking back at Core 2019, I think, Stu, you discussed like the only card that even, what, remotely increased in price throughout the kind of course of its tenure in Standard, at least any real significant increase was Vivian Reed, right?
That's why I'm looking to make sure that.
I mean, even during like pre-orders, do you all even remember anything that was increasing as much as the current cards are now? Let's discount Crucible of Worlds, and Scapeshift. There's one mythic over $20.
What was Nicol Bolas like?
Yeah, I mean, but was it really hyped? Like, I feel like it was always at 20, like 20 plus. It never
Tezzeret has gone up a little bit because I remember buying some for like $4 and now it's like, what, $5 or $6? But I mean, I think you're probably right here.
Chat brings up Sarkhan. That was, yeah, probably.
Here's the thing. There are no rares over like $5 in Star City.
That's what I'm saying. There's one mythic discounting Crucible Worlds, which just increased over $20. There's one card period over $20. You know, so even Vivian Reed before was 20. I know that. And like you said, for a while, Stu, you weren't the only one that couldn't keep this card in stock. This card was flying off the shelves. Other than that, Resplendent Angel. That's the only other one I can think of, realistically, that increased. And that card went nowhere. So, you know, what's different now that we didn't see before is the advent of MTG Arena, the kind of the social aspect of it, the kind of following that it's now created, the shared interactions, the chatter. I think it's really all correlating together. I mean, there was not a mythic that went from $5 in Cavalier of Thorns, which I personally liked from the start, but yeah, I obviously have a bias, so I can't really.
Yeah, because it's green. You forgot that part.
So I can't really, you know, comment because then it's like I'm crazy. That card legitimately went from $4, and I'm seeing $15. I don't know if that's the case. We'll just call it like 12 or something like that. But that's a pretty significant jump. Risen Reef, another significant jump. Was there another uncommon that did the same?
You're talking about the time from when pre-release from. Pre-order to pre-release time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think these cards will have a lasting increase. Like, I think these will be short-lived. So, I said it in Discord before. I'll say it now that I would totally be selling these cards because they're going to tank. I would certainly pick them. Look, you know, back on these once October rolls are back around, but I'd be selling as fast as I possibly can. But I don't remember even. Like an uncommon that was worth $3 in core 19, unless I'm like certain, I'm probably missing it, but
I'm trying to think too, and I can't think one.
I mean I'm looking through right now. I don't remember seeing one.
First set just wasn't a particularly powerful set though. I mean, there were a lot of role players, but like I don't think the set was nearly even the realm as powerful as like this core set is. Like, I think this core set is potentially very good.
Sure, and that is fair.
Also, Core 2019, didn't that follow Dominaria?
Yes.
And I think a lot of people just kept opening Dominaria and ignored Core.
Right, but I mean, is this set that much better than War of the Spark? Or even Modern Horizons? Because Modern Horizons just came out.
I think War of the Spark is better than Core.
The set is certainly better. I do agree there. But I still think there's other forces at play. And my vote is MTG Arena really affecting the pricing because I don't. I mean, even my vote for the best card in the set was Chandra Awakened Inferno. That card is now like $20. Omnath, I did not see coming at all. That's $15. I that's probably the one that I think will drop the most. It's just not often that multicolor, especially those colors, last that long. But Cavalier of Thorns and Chandra Awakened certainly Chandra Awakened Inferno, I feel, are ones to let cool off a little bit.
What about and
turn around and start picking them back up. I was interested in the card because no one else was. You know, everyone kind of deemed it trash. So those are always the cards that I look at that maybe folks are making a mistake. But I just don't. I'm not seeing it. It is. To be fair, we have had reports and multiple insiders stating that this card cannot stay in stock in Japan. So, the Mu Yanling.
I wonder if that's just more of a.
Sorry, the pack version. Yeah, the pack version of Mu Yanling.
Might just be a market thing too, though.
Could be.
Wow, that's a 40.
It's your supplier. Thing? Thank you, chat. That was a very good uncommon. Yeah, I don't know if it would. Yeah, it was $3. Yeah, that's right.
That's also it makes elementals too.
Huh. So, you know, my theory, I think we'll see how that continues to play out, but I feel at least for this set the most,
really good.
We're seeing a increase and a spillover from Magic Arena.
It's just me talking. I actually think this Muyan Ling is really good.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I wasn't.
I thought you meant the set. I didn't know you were talking about Muyan Ling.
Oh. Goodness, I was not trying to ignore you. I was just trying to wrap up my point. But yeah,
that's what I've been just kind of staring at this card since we brought it up, and I'm just like, this card is really good.
I don't know about you though, Stu, because you told me the red the mythic Chandra was doo-doo. So
I still think it's doo-doo.
But it can't be countered on it. It can't be that bad. And it's red. I think you're wrong. But
so just for the record, how I see this format is there's two extremes right now. One is you're a very fast aggro deck, and the other side is that you're just like a ramp deck going over the top. And I think mid range has kind of been squeezed out right now. So I don't think this Chandra is
the Awakened Inferno. Wait, that card does legitimately everything you want a Planeswalker to do. Creates pressure, protects itself, and gets rid of stuff. Like, I don't know. I don't know how much better you want it, and it's going to stick against a control deck. We'll see. You did not say it's doo-doo. I'm exaggerating, but
Chandra versus Muyan Ling. That's the ones we got to keep track of.
Muyan Ling. I liked Cavalier Gales, and finally I get destroyed on that. The green one came through.
I'll say this: any of the Cavaliers that are the red colors right now are going to be probably played.
I think they will all be played. Yeah.
Like the other, I think they're all gonna be played. I think the white and black ones are underpriced right now because they're not the rug colors. And right now, rug is kind of like the best deck on Arena.
Right. I think you're right. Yeah, Cavalier of Night is very good. So is the white one too. But the Cavalier of Night is a good card.
They're all incredibly good and extremely pushed. We were talking about this at dinner on Saturday, and we're just like, I mean, all the Cavaliers are just really good.
Yeah, I like Gales too.
The blue brainstorm one. I think the blue brainstorm one is good because like you can actually stack triggers, I think, with it and the reef elemental card to actually get the land off the top anyway.
Ooh.
If I'm remembering how these two cards interact together, because you can put it into play and then both trigger, and then you can brainstorm, you can put two back and then immediately take the land off the top.
Okay. I kind of like that. Okay.
I think the blue and green one are both going to be good in a deck. As for the red one, I don't know what the red one does. Oh, there's so many words.
I feel like in the Americas, I don't know about the Japanese market, but if Muyan Ling drops to like $4 or $5, I would certainly be very interested in that.
This card is a 3-mana Planeswalker that bumps immediately up to 4 and protects itself. Like, I feel like this
I don't know. It just feels like it's not as bad as everyone says it is.
On turn 3 and it's 4 turn.
I feel like I'm going to be 0-2 on 3-mana blue planeswalkers, but I'm going for it.
This is ultimate. Is it ultimate on turn 5 or 6?
-8.
I can't do that math in my head.
It's starts at 2.
Yeah.
It has a +2. So 3 turns later, so you play it on 3, so 6. No, 7.
That's 6. 2-4 on turn 3. 4-6 on turn 4.
Yeah.
6-8 on 5. So turn 6. Yeah, 6. And the game is basically over.
Yeah.
I think this card is really good.
All right. It's either really good or Jace Castaway 2.0. We're going for it. I was so wrong about that card.
We'll see. You liked the Chandra one, right? So it'll be Chandra versus...
Wait, which one? I love Awakened Inferno.
Yeah, and Coach says it's trash.
Yeah. I also got completely destroyed on Core 2019, which is also why I'm like very timid on this set too, because I don't feel like I want to go deep on any card from a core set because I thought Chromium was awesome and I got blown out on that too. So
yeah, I have some Chromium.
Absolutely destroyed.
I'll say this about Mu Yang Ling. Right now, immediately, the format is incredibly fast because we have the max number of sets. theoretically, right. everything should slow down in the fall. So, like, everything's slowing down. This is a planeswalker. It ends the game on turn six. Like,
I feel like if we kept some sort of, like, if you could play this on turn two somehow, I like that so much better.
Right now, immediately, or in the future?
In the future. Like, if we could play this on turn two, that would be awesome.
Lenore, Elf, and Fanatical Firebrand are all rotating, so, like, it's not good. I think it's going to slow down a good bit. That being said, it also creates elementals, which is interesting with all the elemental stuff going around. So,
you're right.
I feel like it would just, you know, you may not even need the ultimate, just upping and then making a 4/4 elemental and getting all your triggers off it seems pretty good.
Fair. Yeah, Gales is sitting at 5. I think, sorry, Mimo, but Knight, Dawn, and Gales, I think, are going to sit around $4 or $5. And I think if any one of them becomes the flavor, it's like they're going to exchange price tags, right?
They're all gonna bounce around between each other. I think at different points, because all the Titans saw a different play at different times and always bounced around, and I think this will do something similar.
Yeah, you are right about that. Like, I even remember the Blue Titan like jumping up to like $12 for a little while because it was like suddenly good.
I think that was a Jerry Thompson deck, even.
I believe it was. Yeah.
I kept thinking this Cavalier of Gales had Flash, but it's flying.
Huh. Right. Did the Blue Titan have Flash?
Yeah, the Blue Titan had Frost. Oh, like,
yeah.
Frost
okay,
and
I was going to say. I don't
Frost
remember.
And,
Flash.
No.
It was like, wow, those Titans were a lot better than I thought.
It was Frost and the counter, unless you pay 2 ability.
Yeah. All right. So where are we, folks? We are going to wrap it up there, but before we end it, where is your money right now? What are you considering buying? Is there any one specific card? Are you in a holding pattern? Are we waiting for Commander 2019? What's your strategy right now, Coach?
Cases of Modern Horizons.
Okay. That's probably fair.
I think the only thing that I bought, I mentioned earlier I bought some ley lines that I found for cheap on pre-order, but
fair, yeah.
I got some of Ayula's. What's the Ayula? Not the actual commander, the companion or whatever. What's it called? I got some foils of those from Modern Horizons also. What? I think you brought it up last time on the cast. Ayula's something.
Did I? Ayula's Awakening Influence?
Yeah, that's the one. I picked up some copies of that in Florida.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Other than that, I haven't done anything. I'm pretty much just waiting for Commander. That's what I'm most comfortable speculating on.
Yeah, I'm going to agree there. I'm putting any extra, at least for now, I'm waiting on potentially anything crazy that's going to go on Monday, whether it be a Commander announcement or a BNR announcement. I know something's going to happen.
I put in the base of speculation what I thought was going to happen. I'm trying to bring up where...
So let's see what you brought up really quick.
Yeah. So just for the record, we got my predictions were Vintage, they're going to restrict Karn, Narset, and Mental Misstep. Legacy, they're going to unban Mind Twist and Earthcraft. Modern, they're going to ban Bridge, Metamorphose, Simian Spear Guide, and Microsynth Lattice. I think there's a world in which they ban Dryad Arbor and unban Green Sun Zenith.
Okay.
Out of all that stuff, like, you can never go bad just buying more Earthcrafts, because eventually they're going to ban this card because it doesn't do anything more stupid or busted than anything else in that format.
I think you're right.
Like, it's a reserveless card.
You are right about that.
So
I like your... to me, your Modern cards that they will ban really makes sense.
I don't know if they're going to do it before a Pro Tour, but I would Bridge, I think, is like 90% gone. As for the other three, I kind of expect them to be gone before the end of the year.
Right. I think Bridge is probably gone.
But I would like to see it before...
I don't think they touch Faithless Looting like everybody's talking about.
I got to bring up how this deck, people just misconceptions on this deck. Faithless Looting is very good, and it's one of these cards in the format that enable a lot of different things. However, inherently, it's a fairly, like, it's card disadvantage. It's more card selection and disadvantage. Because, like, sleight of hand is selection, but it's one for one, whereas Famous Looting is your data card naturally. So I mean, so there are some restrictions on how good that card is, especially on Mulligan. It's very bad on Mulligan. It's a bad late game card. It's only really good in Native League for these very quick starts. And if you get rid of something like Metamorphose, which is like I think the bigger issue in these decks, that I think that like people are gonna understand that Faithless Looting is just a very good card and not like this busted card of like this free mana stuff. And the reason I chose Bridge from Below instead of say banning Hogak is because well one, I don't think you can ban a card of a new set they just produced it. And two, I think
yeah, that keeping, would look really bad.
I think keeping Hogak around, I think it's okay to have that deck be a deck if it's slowed down significantly, which removing Bridge from Below and removing like the infinite kill or like the 20 zombies on turn two would do. That's just Stu amateur designer thing.
Fair. Yeah, I think it makes sense. I still am looking back on Modern Horizons. I think foils are going to start turning around again. We saw a little bit of a bump and then a kind of a correction downward. I think those are going to trend back. I think any mythics that are kind of fringe and that picks up a little bit more play immediately become much more interesting. Seasoned Pyromancer certainly took off. That was kind of a card that most of the Discord was already talking about. I think Ranger Captain of Eos is right behind it.
I'll say this. So cost on Modern Horizons is roughly 165, and there are some MVP sports cards that's like a zillion boxes at 180, which is roughly 8% above cost. And when there's an 8% kickback, you're just kind of buying these boxes at cost. And I just think that the boxes are going to be so good.
Yeah. I do think a lot, there's still a lot of room to fall for like most of these mythics and rares and stuff. But like you said, Coach, and Stu, or Stu,
either one.
It's going to be really hard to keep the hot commodity cards in stock. Like, I was watching the foils, like some of the foils of this stuff that, like, even when we talked about it since then, and even up, I checked like a few days ago, but even non foils, like anything even remotely, like, underpriced, like, is a couple dollars under TCG or a dollar, you know, if you undercut, it's gone. Like, $15 Yawgmoths just fly off the shelves. Like, competitively costed Ren and Six are still flying off the shelves.
Oh, Ren and Six was the other card that we just, like, we had it in our case for some stupidly high number, like $50 or $60. We were paying a lot. And, like, that card just was always asked for, always sold. And, like,
Seasoned Pyromancer, like, I sold within minutes. I mean, legitimately. I had eight of them. I let everyone know I had eight. I didn't obviously go super deep, but I liked the card. Sold in minutes. I wanted Ranger Captain to kind of get up into that price territory. It's about at that now, so I'll probably list those. Those will sell in minutes. Like, it's just very hard to keep the hot commodity Modern Horizons cards in stock.
And it depends too. Like at the event, we couldn't keep anything tournament like heavy, like tournament important cards in stock. But then at the local scene, I can't keep anything like casual in. Like First Sliver and the Swords, like that stuff is just like just gone too.
Yeah. I mean, except for
the Mox. The Mox is terrible. Nobody wants it.
Fair. So I think we're pretty much in agreement. I know I've been talking about this, so I'm going to try and get this done over the weekend. Likely Sunday, I'm going to have a nice block of time to carve out to do a deep dive for a insider only podcast about rotation. Now that we have Core 2020, I have all the sets. I want to do a deeper dive just to kind of what we're looking at for October. I would like the announcement to kind of do that, but I think, you know, I was trying to push it off as long as I can, but I still feel pretty confident in my kind of short list and dive into that. So stay on the lookout for that. Efren, Stu, thanks so much for joining us tonight. That's going to wrap it up for us. Really appreciate your insight, and thanks everyone for tuning in tonight as well. Thanks, Efren. And
thanks, guys.
Later, y'all.
Yep. So that's going to be it for tonight, and we will see you all next time.